Everyone, you got a wonderful opportunity to share the word of the Lord with you all here today, so I want to say thank you for that opportunity. And to begin, I think that I'd like to just make one little point, and then we'll say a prayer. And it kind of ties on into one portion of the message today, is that when we share the word of the Lord through Scripture, we are sharing something that God has chosen to associate his presence and his awareness with the world through. And so I'll say that, just think about that language of chosen to associate, this idea that God is present everywhere, but he's chosen in his word to bring something of his goodness to us. So with the word of the Lord on our minds, let's pray for this message today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son Jesus and by the grace of the Spirit. And we're asking that we would have greater awareness of your choices to how you have chosen to associate and gift the world in things such as the wilderness wanderings, the temple, the prophets, your word, and Christ the Messiah. Pray that you would please reorder and restructure our hearts and minds, that we would draw closer to you, understand you in greater ways, and be more equipped to bring your goodness into the world that we live in. And we ask this through the authority of Christ, and we all say, Amen. So we are in a series on the book of Colossians, and the one above all, sort of hearkening to that Marvel character Pastor Ryan's always been pointing out. More of a DC guy myself, but, so I'll be talking about Superman here today. I'm just having fun. It's a great illustration of the idea of what Colossians and St. Paul are bringing to the table in thinking about Christ. And I really, really loved his sermon where he likens the Logos, this sort of reason behind it all, the spark of all of life. And it's an easy thing for pastors to kind of gloss over. And so I was really appreciative that he didn't, because the heritage has both sort of like a Greek and a Jewish heritage for how they understood the word. And spending time on that, especially you'll hear in my message today, some pastors are a little nervous to talk about a concept like that. So I thought you hit it out of the park, and it was really a cool message that you shared on that. And we're talking today on Colossians 2, 6 through 10. So let's read Colossians 2, 6 through 10, and here it goes. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. This is the word of the Lord here for us this morning. We find our fullness in the full one is sort of my introductory tagline, that we will avoid being empty, but not in the sense of like psychologically empty. Christians can fall, unfortunately, into the same difficulties that everybody else can fall on into. We're human, just like anyone else. And yet, if we have Christ, there is a kind of fullness. We might liken it to a spiritual fullness, or perhaps a fullness of eternal life that we get in the long run. And also, if we are sort of inhabiting the fullness of Christ, maybe we'll even offer fresh perspective on the difficulties that we ourselves walk on into on a regular basis. So we find our fullness in the full one. The full one in this text of Scripture and everywhere else for that matter is Christ Jesus the Lord. It's important to see him as the mature one. And I like that language in Ephesians where the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers are sharing the word and are equipping the saints so that they would become mature in him. And so we come to church, we hear the word of the Lord in order to be full or more mature than we currently are. And I often like to think of Jesus sort of at the top of the mountain of mature individuals in Scripture or elsewhere. And that's ultimately where we're journeying towards, is a full, mature self. And Christ is the most full and mature self, so it's a good idea to follow him so that we can sort of inhabit that same maturity. Now, St. Paul is writing to protect the Colossian Christians from heresy. Everybody say heresy. Heresy. It's one of those ancient words that we need to sort of receive again in our day. Now, sometimes you'll see it on a movie or you'll see it in a cultural debate, and this language of heresy can seem so rude and so dark, and they burned the heretics at the stake and that sort of a thing. However, especially if you're an early fledgling community deciding what your ideas and interpretations are and how you're going to follow the Christ, the Messiah, it really pays to know what's the in teaching, the right teaching, versus what's the wrong and false teaching. So when you say heresy, you don't have to have any ill will towards anybody, although we sometimes mean it that way. Oh, those heretics, if you've ever heard it in a certain way. But heresy is just this idea of schism or false belief, or both, schism because of false belief. And very often, when you have this word in the early Christian community, they're dealing with a variety of false ideas, and St. Paul is trying to protect the early Christians from adopting false ideas in the middle of adopting sort of the truth of Jesus. So heresy isn't really a bad word. It's a really good word, although it can have sort of negative connotations, especially if you start having ill will towards the individuals that you're considering having heretical ideas. Now, I'm not really advocating we go around using the word all of the time. Well, that's just a heresy, you know? I don't really think that's probably the pathway in our day as well. But you could use other language like, well, that's a false belief, or, you know, that's not quite right, or that wasn't part of the early Christian tradition or Bible or whatever. And he's writing to deal with a group of individuals, perhaps had already sort of infiltrated in the Christian community, or perhaps Christians that are starting to adopt some negative ideas, as well as perhaps a community nearby that had probably two difficulties that he sees that he doesn't want his early Christians in this region adopting. The first had to do with sort of a Jewish set of beliefs and rituals. Remember, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a number of Jewish circles on a regular basis, and some of the Jewish community, of course, as we know very well, did not come to the faith as followers of Jesus. Although we know, Acts 15:5, and elsewhere, we know that even Pharisees, some of them, became followers of Jesus.